Three, two, one. This is an episode 120. Is that
120.
All right. hello and welcome to episode number 120 of Put the Coins in the Slot. Insertcredit.com. Put the coins in there.com. Get the token home. Bring the token home.com. That's the name of the show now.
Cool.
Insert credit is the actual name. But what does that mean, really? We'll leave that for the listener to decide. I'm Captain Tim Rogers. That's at 108 on Twitter. We've got Corporal Brandon Sheffield. I thought you would like the word corpse in your name. Corporal Brandon Sheffield. And we've got... we're going to go ahead and make you a Brigadier Lieutenant Frank Cifaldi.
Oh, nice. I like the double a good name. One? Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. It's good. It's got two words.
Completely created a name. Brigadier Lieutenant Frank Cifaldi. That's you today. And we're here today to talk about video games.
Wow.
So today I only want to talk about the big ones.
Okay.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke. I don't care what games we talk about. So I've prepared a list of topics as usual, but who cares about my list of topics?
I care a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe you'd have to, let's try them out then.
Yeah.
Topic number one, jumping right into the news. Jonathan Blow yesterday announced the price of his game, The Witness. The Witness was a game that he started working on in the year 2007. It's taken him going on 9 years to complete the game. He's got a bunch of people involved with it. It's a huge game with a whole bunch of crap in it. Most of which, as I have been able to gather through tweets and interviews and podcasts and Wikipedia entries, most of the game is hidden. And... like, none of the videos revealed so far show anything that is, like, actually important to the game at all, including any of the mechanics. So, that interests me a lot.
Yeah.
And the game was announced as being $40. And I clicked on a NeoJaff thread. I'm calling it NeoJaff, not NeoGaff.
That's
the new way to pronounce
that's
that.
That's the GIF pronunciation. It's like the CompuServe pronunciation of NeoGaff.
Oh, I thought it was the David Jaffe fan forum.
Oh yeah.
Oh, then that would be NeoJaff. Yeah, he should get on that NeoJaffe. So the first
isn't regular NeoGaff the Jaffe fan forums?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. Everybody on there kind of they wear like a David Jaffe baseball cap. I don't know what that means. Does he have his own baseball cap?
Probably.
He probably has his own baseball cap, we've decided. That's headline news. David Jaffe probably has his own baseball cap with his name. He sells them on his web store. Anyway, so the first 20 posts or so on the NeoJaff were some variation of more than I expected. And it's like, first of all, people posting more than I expected, clearly after already seeing it was more than someone else expected, chiming in with their click of a Facebook like that is now, you know, more than just a click of a Facebook like. It's repeat a whole sentence. People were expecting, apparently, I was able to dig, they were expecting it to be $20 or less. That's what they were expecting. And they're expecting that it'll be on sale for $5 or it'll be in a Humble bundle very soon. I think that the game should be $40. What do you guys think? Let's give a talk. Let's talk about this.
I think it should be exactly what the people who budgeted the game think that it should be in order to make a return on their investment. And I'm going to believe that's about $40.
Uh-huh.
I will not pay one penny more than $39.99 for this product.
Darn.
I refuse that, you know, that $40 sticker price, it just looks too big. But if you can fool me into thinking it's in the 30s, then, you know, it's more palatable to me. So $39.99, that's what I think it should cost.
$39.99.
I think now I think 40 yeah. feels like less than $39.99 because it's only two numbers instead of four.
Yeah, but it's got four instead of thirt at the beginning. That's the,
yeah,
that's
but you
the
got
problem.
99 in there. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a big 99. Number. You're right.
99 is a scary number.
So I do think that 40 is a good price. I'm generally in favor of anyone that rails against the race to the bottom and has the power to do so because, you know, Tim, you or I could try to make video ball or gun sport $30, but are the people going to come along with us for that ride? I don't know. But if are they going to come along with John Blow? They might, more likely than us. So
I think he's got enough support. He'll sell it for $40. So like I tweeted about it. He's going to make enough money at $40 that when it does go on sale, it's going to go on sale. I mean that when it does go on sale, it will it'll make more than enough money. But I mean, if this truly is a game with bounties beneath it,
it's going to be worth it.
Like some of the rumblings I have heard are you can beat the game in like 20 hours or however many hours without seeing like 90% of the essential content that requires just an infinity of digging into the game to see like any of the stuff. Like, I think that's kind of neat. I don't even know what any of the stuff is to begin with in the game. So that's, I don't know. It's an exciting opportunity. I've heard John Blow talk about his hobbies recently. And this is the whole, you know, Shigeru Miyamoto's not allowed to talk about his hobbies because he talked about gardening. But, you know, he talked about gardening and then he made Pikmin. I believe that anyone hearing that Shigeru Miyamoto likes gardening, the chances of them making Pikmin is
pretty slim.
I mean, we're talking 100 times rarer than winning a Powerball. You know, there's another mention of current events.
Did he talk about his puppy farm before he did Nintendogs?
Oh man, he talked about liking a dog. He did mention a dog. So John Blow has talked about
looking
going to
stuff.
See. Yeah, looking at stuff, witnessing things,
he loves witnessing.
Mindfulness. Mindfulness and missed opportunities. He has talked about the theater presentation, the play Sleep No More in New York City. Do you guys know about this?
No.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, man. I thought this was something you guys would know about.
No.
Sleep No More is it's a house in New York. And you buy tickets and there is a play happening in the house. Sleep No More is a line snippet from the play Hamlet. So Sleep No More is a modern theater. I guess it would be a postmodern, hypermodern, a theatrical reinvention of Hamlet where the play is happening in a house and you walk around the house. What do you see? When do you see it? I don't know. It's all up to you. Where are you going to be at any given time?
I've heard about things like this. Is this the only thing of its type? If not, I've either heard
it is,
of this.
It is not exactly the only thing of its type. There was an opera that was done at Los Angeles Union Station, or what's that station? Union Station?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Union Station. Yeah, it was done in that beautiful. I love that station. The station rules.
Yeah.
Very nice building. Close to a ziggurat, the Los Angeles City Hall. As seen in the film L.A. Confidential, there was an opera that was happening in that stadium that you can only hear over earpieces, and you're looking for the people in the crowd who are vocalizing the words.
Yeah. So I was definitely thinking of Sleep No More.
Is
why did they
the
call it Sleep No More instead of Homelet? Is my question.
Homelet, gone. Homelet.
Home Alonelet.
Home Alonelet. Home Alonelet would, oh my god.
I'd watch that.
A Hamlet, man. Home Alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
bring Macaulay Culkin back and let's do Home Alonelet.
I've kind of had this idea that we would someday do a podcast and, the final lightning round would be an answer for your crimes sort of a thing where it's like, here's a bunch of dumb stuff we said. we have to now design a game based on this. So let's move on. So yeah, sleep no more. As you're walking around a room, you're walking around this whole house, and you're just experiencing it. And there's other people. You don't like other spectators. You don't talk to them. You're just observing. You're witnessing. You're being mindful. And Jonathan Blow has talked about being like addicted to this, like going to see it like over and over and over again. That's kind of a cool thing to know going into The Witness for me. I like the idea of missed opportunities and happening narrative. I think that's neat.
You know, a lot of people have compared the game to Myst, so there will probably be a lot of missed opportunities in there.
Bam.
Boom.
That is exactly what I was hoping for. Myst opportunities.
I have a couple things to say, that just things that I saw people say about the price that I agreed with.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, which were... one was someone saying that when someone releases a game like this for $40, that game should come with a guarantee that you're not going to put it on sale for at least a month or 2 months. So that you don't buy the game and then a couple days later you're like, now it's $10.
That's kind of scary. That's some
Yeah, that would set a precedent, and also it'd be really tacky.
It would be really tacky, and it would be really, what do you call it? Really PC master racy. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, I got it. I got it now. You're not going to put it on sale for 2 months. Well, what about somebody who buys it at the tail end of the 2 months and doesn't know when it's going to go on sale?
Yeah.
Why don't game developers just announce exactly when their games are going to be on sale? This game will be on sale exactly 3 months from today.
Yeah,
if you want to wait until then.
That's a better tactic. And then the other thing that I saw was, it was Chris Charla after he bought it saying that he gets annoyed at the kinds of people that will pay $14 to go see an hour and a half movie. I mean, if you can find an hour and a half movie to pay $14 for, good luck. But mostly they're 2.5 hours now. But still, with The Witness reportedly over 100 hours, you know, it's much better value and a different, more interactive art form for you. So. Yeah.
I've heard there is a puzzle in the game that less than 1% of humans on Earth possess the capacity to solve. I'm real excited about that.
Cool, I'm not going to solve that.
Yeah, well, maybe you will, because somebody will tell you the solution.
Oh, yeah, well, but that's not me solving it, is it? That's just me. It's me.
Yeah,
I can follow rules, that's for sure.
And a solution is a solution.
I would pay $40 for a perfect 2 hours.
Yeah. A really, really solid 2 hours.
I wouldn't right now, but I also wouldn't pay $40 for a 100-hour thing, because that's scary.
That's awful, yeah.
It's too many
like
hours.
When you said 20 hours, Tim, I was already thinking that that's too many, and I would rather pay $40 for fewer than 20 hours.
Yeah.
They're saying that there's 100 hours of stuff in there that you don't have to root through.
And that's great.
I'm
good with that.
Yeah.
If I get...
But I don't know what the core experience is.
If I give John Blow 10 extra dollars, can I get a 5-hour version of the game?
God, I'd love that.
I would love 6 core hours followed by like 3 hours of me reading the internet for the rest of the stuff I missed.
I really like end game. We've talked about this, but I really like not end game, but post game which is silly, of course, because as long as you're playing the game, it's game. There's no such thing as post game, really. But I like when after all of your main objectives are done and you go back to the town or the thing, whatever you got, the menu, and there's some other stuff, and it's like, guess what? You played all the way through this thing. Here's a little bit extra for you. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that stuff, especially if it's a world I'm having a good time with. So I guess I want to say one more thing about the price of this is I tweeted, people are saying it's more than they expected. I have no expectations of this game other than, the fact that I enjoy Jonathan Blow's dedication, right? Like his dedication to keeping the game secret. To me, that's like a brand, you know? It's like I wear Jordan shoes because I like Jordan shoes. to me, that's it. Just it's a brand that's quality. I understand that there's a bad way to like brands, but I feel like Jonathan Blow is a brand, and why not charge $40 for his game, no matter what it is? I feel like he could get away with it. If it's a 30-minute game, he could charge $40. I keep throwing around this joke, and I tell me if you guys think this is a good idea, that we make a black label version of Video Ball that is just one level. It's local only. It's a new music track. It's one color scheme. It's a custom announcer, and it costs $100. And there's no online, no menus, no anything. It's like you're buying a fancy pool table.
What medium is it? Is it digital?
Yeah, it would be PC DRM free. But there's a serial number on the bottom of the screen for every copy. Every copy is built individually. $100. Or you can pay undisclosed price, which is much, much cheaper than $100, trust me, for the full game with all the stuff. That's team ranked online matchmaking, by the way.
I think
$100 is too much myself.
I
think that almost every game that could have a following is not exploiting, and I don't mean that, I'm not saying that in a negative way, the potential for secondary revenue from people who really, really like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I feel like almost every game worth a darn should have a collector's edition that comes out like 3 months later. But I think that people want it on their shelves, and you need to make a physical something.
A physical something that costs
$100.
So this is my topic I have written in my notes here, the $100 video game.
Okay.
So I guess I already gave my answer, which is we would make this extremely stripped down black label Video Ball that is like a fancy pool table. Again, you just press a button and it starts, and it's for four players, and it just looks a little different. It's just different colors, and it's like a ridiculous gesture, and it's like clearly for like a crowd who's like, I'm such a big Video Ball fan that I own Video Ball Black Label. I bought Video Ball Black Label. I've got copy number 1062 or whatever, because they're all numbered. I think that's not that we. I wish I could sell 100,000 or 1,000 copies of that. I think that's hilarious to me. But the idea is, so this is a two-pronged question. There are collector's editions that cost $100. That's all over the place. Like every game has a $100 collector's edition. Every AAA game does. There's a Halo that's got like a Master Chief helmet. And then meanwhile, you now have in every AAA game, and I'm sure you've noticed this, every AAA game offers every player the opportunity to spend more than $100. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
You can buy Destiny currency now after that not being a thing. You can buy currency, you can buy skins, you can buy stuff.
You can subscribe to content that hasn't even been announced yet.
You can subscribe, yeah, that hasn't been announced. That, in the case of a game like Watch Dogs, stars a different character, doesn't have any of the same mechanics, but it's like part of the it's the next season of the game. So you can spend $100 on any game, and here we are 2016. I know we've talked about this before, but I mean, I've still never bought something outside of a game. I've never bought a digital good in a game yet. Still. What's the trend watch on that? Have you, Frank?
We're not talking mobile games, obviously, when you say that, right?
Let's answer it as two questions.
Oh, then. Sure.
Let's hear it.
I bought plenty of coin doublers in games like Jetpack Joyride just because I feel like that's the real game. And I don't mind if a game's good enough that I want to buy it. You know what I mean? But as far as like console games and stuff like that, I can't think of any. I do not believe I've ever paid for additional content in a game, unless you want to count Actually, okay, yeah. I bought them Grand Theft Auto 4 episodes. That's what I bought.
Ah.
I bought all three of those.
In my reckoning, those are, I think the Grand Theft Auto episodes are, and we're going to draw a hard line in the sand here. Those are the best DLC.
I think that might be true because
I think in video games, because they make a new character, they write a new story.
Yeah.
It's just all, it's a big flop of new stuff.
And as you've pointed out before, in your desire to be able to play with the city in a game making way, you can make all kinds of games in those cities. And
yeah, they're just big playgrounds.
Yeah. And so it's real smart to just make new stories in a city like that. And it makes me feel like I felt when they announced that Sam and Max was an episodic adventure game. I got excited because I was like, well, that works for sitcoms. You know, you just use the same sets.
Exactly.
You just have new content, occasional new characters or whatever, but like you just kind of pump out new games. It didn't really work out that way for either game, but yeah, I agree with you that those are some of the best DLC purchases that a person could make.
So they were what? They were $20?
I think they might have been 10 or 20, but I think 20.
Yeah. It was like it was a real price, and it's like buying a full game, and it's like, well, no, it's not. They were Rockstar, you know, of course they don't go out and say anything anywhere, but they were kind of making a case for you can charge what do you call it for the used game market. They were like, we're doing something that's, you know, you can't sell back this game. I mean, then they started putting them on the disc,
right? But not until after, which again is not, it doesn't count as a secondary market.
Yeah, it was a fun way to, it was a non-sleazy way to get a bunch of extra money out of customers, out of people who might have even bought the game used. Yeah, so I think those are cool, and I'm sure plenty of other games have done something with as much care and precision. Assassin's Creed 4 has a really good add-on that you use your first mate from your ship. He's the main character, and it's all about how he came to meet the main character, and it's set in the same world, and that's neat. That sort of thing's real cool. So
it took me some brain racking to come up with one, but I bought the card deck expansions for Ascension, the deck building card game. I don't have all of them, but I have some of them, and they all, I guess, relatively subtly and sometimes not so subtly change the way that you're playing the game. And so that's about it. I haven't been super compelled to buy like DLC episodes or larger things like that for big games, because I know that they're going to come out on one disc for cheaper than everything way later. And I know that I'm not going to play them now. So like, why the heck not wait till Dragon Age Origins with all the DLC is out on a disc so that I can buy that once and never play it, instead of buying it five times and never playing it.
I've got Grand Theft Auto 5 and I still haven't played through it. I've got it on PS3, and then it came out on PS4 and I was gonna buy it again and then I didn't, and now it's on PC and I still haven't bought it.
Yeah, it's the stuff.
I can't play it on PS3. I'm going to play it in 60 FPS on the 1080p on the PC. You know? I'm glad I waited, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. But yet I feel like 4 might be the last time I could get excited about a Grand Theft Auto game. And I really liked 4 at the time.
Yeah, I liked 4 a lot. 4 was a cool game. But it was a good time.
I don't know that you can do much more with it without actually changing the game in a way that would upset people.
4 was, I played straight through that game.
I sure did too. I played through
40
it twice.
Hours.
Yeah.
I played it in a weekend. Like I very rarely will just play straight through something like that. Yeah. So 40 hours. What if it was the $40? It would be $1 an hour. I'd pay $1 an hour for that. Yeah.
What was the second part of that question?
The second prong in that question is,
because I thought you were going to ask us, what would we pay $100 for? Because I'm interested in knowing that.
That's the second prong for that question. What would you pay $100 for that is not a physical release? I mean, that's too easy. We all have our things that we would pay $100 for if it came with a... They can get any of us. If you've ever bought a game console, they can get you with some special deal. There's some Mario action figure that would get me, I don't know, some Mario thing would get me to buy a $100 Mario game. I don't know.
Oh, well, right? I was actually going to go in a different direction and say that, you know, like if the, and this is, you know, ridiculous and not going to happen, but if, say, some game came with a, like an Asuka 120% remix that I could play on the Saturn.
Nice.
I would buy that. And like,
all right. What if the developer just released that?
Oh, I would buy that too. You know,
they published it officially.
That Rodea the Sky Soldier game where they've got the Wii U version and then the Wii version is on it and it's essentially the last Wii game developed. Man, that's a real game. Like, I still haven't.
I keep seeing it and not buying it.
I still haven't bought it, but that's that. I want to buy that. Like, if I had. If I
two copies at the Fry's in Concord.
If I felt really comfortable with money at the time of its release, I would have bought it immediately. Likewise, Devil's Third, which by all accounts is that Devil's Third joke that we made, seems to apply.
I have refused to make that joke, and that game owns, so I feel vindicated. People are going to love it in a couple years.
I don't think they're going to be able have the opportunity to love it because they made, like, what, 10,000 of them and then swept it under the rug. I watched a video of the first 10 minutes, and it's like, it looks like a video game that was made by a group of misanthropes that just hate people that play video games.
Yeah, that rules.
It's like, you're
wait a minute.
You're climbing up this ledge, and there's a guy standing at the top of the ledge stabbing a knife at you and knocking you down off the ledge, but you have to climb up the ledge. And so the way that the guy playing it manages to do it is by a physics glitch, and he gets up there and the other guy falls down. But then once he gets up there, a swarm of unavoidable bats come and smack at him. It's nice. Just...
Oh, gotta love the bats. That's like a Ninja Gaiden
reference.
It
looks really bad. Like, really comically bad.
But it rules. There's so much stuff in it that rules. We can talk about that at some point.
Yeah,
I would pay $100. You're saying no physical anything, which is fine. I would pay $100 for the right game. I don't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that, and that's really all it comes down to for me.
Exactly.
Is that...
So let me hypothesize on what the right game is. Right.
Okay.
Here it is. We're talking 10 years in the future, probably. Somebody makes a video game that's real good. That's number one, right? And but it's a video game that's set in a big city, a Grand Theft Auto-like city, a living city that is updated, and they make sure it feels good, and the level design, it's all prioritized. And you've got just a big, like, giant encyclopedia of characters, a bunch of stuff. A bunch of storylines, plot lines, characters. Basically, it's the Sopranos of video games, and they release seasons of it. At some point in the future, people are no longer afraid of episodic content. Mm-hmm. And they sell the episodes for $20 each, and there's like 20 episodes. And then, 5 years later, there's a boxed set you can download on Steam for $100. And you're like, you know, I've been meaning to get into that. I want to see what that one's all about. And then you buy it for $100. That's, they have to brand it and publicize it as a, this is a game that's just going to have a lot of episodes, and they just have to make episodes work.
Okay.
Is that it?
Well, I thought you were saying for us, and cause that's definitely, that wouldn't get me for sure.
That was my hypothesis for Frank, which is similar to what I would want.
I see.
I can see that. I still think I'd be afraid of the amount of content I need to consume.
Yeah. Well, which is why they make episodic games work. I think the idea of that is, yeah, so it's a trend I've been seeing in games, in criticism of games, weirdly. People saying the best example, The Last of Us, It just, it doesn't get any harder. The difficulty plateaus like an hour in. It's like,
great.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I think a game where the difficulty plateaus an hour in and you know how to play it, the same way you know how to listen to the dialogue in The Wire. You know, you have to, there's an adjustment period. It takes an episode before you're like, oh, that's how people talk in this fictional world. And you are okay with it. I think, I remember thinking the dialogue in that show was just awful right at the beginning. And then I just adjusted. So, yeah, you just, you get used to playing it and then it's yours. And then you can kind of just fit through it.
I guess for me personally, like, it doesn't even have to be in the future or speculative. Just if there's a game that I want to play real bad, I guess I don't really care what it costs, you know, within reason. And I can justify $100 for a big game, given that I buy two of those a year, maybe, max, you know, at this point. So I will spend $100 on a big game that I really want to play, if that's what it costs.
That sounds about right. $100. So now here's the other side of the token. What would get you to spend $100 on a physical game? So I'm going to throw out one, I'll throw out a couple of, tiny factoids. Is that all Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest games are released at a price point of $100 in Japan, and they proceed to sell millions of copies. So that's Japan, you know, where a new Dragon Quest might be the only game you buy for 5 years, literally.
And every PC game used to be $100 in Japan, or at least 98,000 yen.
Because that was just what it took to pay the rent, you know?
Wait, 9,800, I guess. That's what I meant.
98,000 is that's an expensive game.
That's a big game.
That's
there.
A spicy meatball right there.
Yeah.
All those Dragon Quests are like $100, and you know, I bought some Dragon Quests for a bunch of money, whatever. But the one thing that really made me feel the coolest when I bought a video game, like, I'm gonna say the coolest little touch that I ever witnessed on a video game is the Japanese Lost Odyssey box. The sleeve of which is printed in luxurious ink on Japanese calligraphy paper. Like, that shattered my mind that it looked that cool. So $100 video game for me needs more than figurines, plushies, and statues. It needs something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say almost exactly like that. Like, I want, for $100, it's a collector's edition of something that I love, but it doesn't have crap in it. It doesn't have anything in it except maybe like a little booklet or something. But it is a beautiful physical object that I want to put on a shelf. And I guess it contains some way of playing the game. I don't even know. But it's not what we think of as collector's editions right now, where they just put in some plastic garbage in an art book or whatever. It's, you know, like an actual thing that looks like it costs $100.
So for me, I definitely, I'm not going to be putting it on any shelf, probably. But if I'm going to, similarly, I do not like, you know, I prefer not to buy the collector's edition because it's got some garbage in it that I don't want usually.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper for me to not have to get the garbage. Sometimes some of these Japanese RPGs will come out with a collector's edition first, and I'll have to wait till the non-collector's edition comes out so that I don't have to have, like, an Xbox 360 faceplate. That's not a thing anymore, but, you know, it used to be a thing, and Death Smiles came with that, and then I gave it away. But I think, you know, thinking about what I will pay a little more for with a physical object is if like art, there is something handmade about it. So, you know, thinking, If I were the kind of person that had a bunch of money and I could have paid the $2,000 that Kenji Ino was asking for you to get a copy of Enemy Zero hand delivered by him in a truck,
yeah,
and then he'd come and hang out at your house for an hour, like, that's cool. And they were all hand numbered and stuff. But likewise, on a simpler level, if that say that game you were talking about, Tim, on the calligraphy paper, if it were hand tied with some little twine across it and someone hand numbered it, you know, that's worth it. kind of. Lately, if I'm buying, you know, records or tapes or something, and it's got some little hand touch to it that somebody cut it funny, or it's got a little print in it that got smudged, I'm much more interested in that than a perfect copy of that everybody else has.
Yeah.
So it's got to have uniqueness, essentially, for me to feel like I'm getting my money's worth out of that.
So it's got to have uniqueness for $100.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I can buy that. I'm just thinking, I guess I've already mentioned HBO shows a lot on this show today. I like the Deadwood Blu-ray box. Comes in this really nice box that is like this really heavy wooden feeling cardboard. It almost feels like it's made out of wood. I think that's really cool. I think a game that came in like a handmade wooden box would be kind of cool.
Yeah. It's got to fit like with
just
my other games.
Something
though.
Like that. Yeah. That's it's got, if it would fit and it would sit on your shelf and it would look good. Just good custom packages.
Yeah.
And then, the Deadwood Blu-ray box, it's a book. When you take it out, it's one of those books that unfolds and has these very high resolution glossy prints on each of the pages. I think that's like a good treatment if a game could do something like that. And last week I mentioned the Ni No Kuni DS game came with that full size book.
Yeah.
That had all the illustrations in it, and it feels like a Ghibli artifact. And there's a little crystal inside the cover. It's a little crappy plastic crystal. That's not $100 worth of purchase, but I'm glad I spent $60 on that, you know, thing. And that's, yeah. It's not a plastic figurine, you know what I mean?
I feel like people appreciate that sort of stuff more than, you know, if they a lot of the time people nowadays are getting the feeling that they're paying $100 to get the full game, but they're being told that they're getting the full game for $60 or
yeah.
something. And that is upsetting to people. I feel like people might be more into it if you were like, this game costs $100. Maybe. Like if you just gave them everything, you're like, and you said $100, this is the whole, it's all of it. You have the whole thing. This game is worth $100. I think that might be better than saying this is a complete game at $60, and that, but actually the rest of it being $40 worth of DLC parsed out.
People are pretty big on getting mad at stuff being, well, no, it's very clear that there's an expectation of what a $60 game is. Like, it's very clear that Assassin's Creed is $60. None of the fans complain. A lot of the people complaining about The Witness being $40, a lot of them were not people who wanted the game or cared. They were just getting on the let's hate on it train. But nobody's ever going to jump on Madden and say, why is Madden $60? They don't do that. That's like not the conversation they have. They have the, why do they have to make a new one of these every year? But they never laser focus on the price tag of the game. So that's interesting to me, is that they're just like, well, it is a $60 game, you know, like, and I think there's, you know, we're talking strictly peanut gallery here. I think there's just not even a reflex of assessment to say, oh, this is a game 300 people worked on. This is a game 500 people worked on. That's a lot of money for them to spend. Of course it's $60. There's never that. But, I mean,
although there was that for John Blow today.
Yeah.
I saw people being like, how many people worked on this game? Like 3, 5?
They have no...
What is this, $40?
So people generally have no idea, yeah, about what it takes to make a game. And what are they basing this thing on? This The Witness pricing expertise on, these people stepping forward and going, yeah, here's why it shouldn't be $40. As the Neo Jaff thread goes on, the replies get longer, and the experts begin to step in and remove their hats and speak. And it's like, it's this kind of this baffling language, and it's, it shouldn't be, you know, it's like, what is the understanding? He made a game that was a side scroller. It was a side scroller with a character who's a little guy, and it's kind of Mario-ish, like, and therefore there's no way he's ever allowed to charge more than $20 on a game. That's weird, first of all. Second of all is, and this is something, John, people don't know what's in the goddamn game, but they're presuming it's not enough. I like thinking about that, much as it makes me sad. It's interesting to think about. There's this presumption that it's not enough. Whereas with a $60 game, it just looks like a single screenshot of Madden. Yeah, that looks like $60. So the thing is, like, I mean, people get mad at $60. I just remembered a couple examples. Star Wars Battlefront, the online only Star Wars game. People are like, that's $60. There's complaints all over the place. I saw complaints right out of left field, right out of your, I don't know what to call them, but the gamers who proudly don't play FPSs or whatever. You know these people, right? These posers who are like, they like pointing out that they don't play such and such genre of game because they're not interesting or whatever. Like, there was a lot of those people going, why is this game $60? It doesn't even have a single player. I mean, clearly they were Star Wars fans and they wanted to play some Star Wars and they didn't want it to be an online shooter. So there's something like that, right? But, that interests me. But there's this funny thing that games used to be way more than $60. They used to be, I paid $80 for Chrono Trigger, for example. Phantasy Star, $100. Virtual Racing,
$100. I think Phantasy Star 4 was $100.
So this brings me to my next question. This is the all bets are off. We've been talking about new games. What is the most you have ever paid for a game, like in a collection? Like we've talked about collections. What's the most you've ever paid for a game? Boom.
Yeah, I feel like this one's going to be probably
the price
me.
Is right. Here it is.
now I'm betting on Frank. It's going to be me.
Okay. Well, and yeah. Well, I am now too because he said that. But I think probably the most I have spent was when I just bought Astro Superstars in Japan for $93 roughly. I have kept my purchases. I've tried to keep them as reasonable as possible, but I knew that game was never going to go below like 120, which is what it usually seems to go for. And so seeing it at almost $30 off made me feel as though I had to do it. And
bam.
I did it.
Yeah, I got you beat.
Okay. Oh, right. So, yeah, because you buy this is a prototype. Yeah, okay. Doesn't count.
No, I'm not going to count those.
Okay.
So I don't buy games too often. You know, older games, because I don't mind downloading them. Let's just put it that way. But as you both know, I started a collection of the LucasArts adventure games, and I collect them as though they are books, and I am a book collector. So they are the first prints of these games, the first version of each
first
one that
editions.
Came out. Yes. And I sort of dug myself into a hole.
You painted yourself into a corner and then.
Or painted myself into a corner is probably a better. And then dropped in a hole.
You
right.
dug yourself into a hole. I mean, dug you painted yourself into a hole is what I was trying to say. I ruined my joke.
Yes. I painted myself into a hole.
Yeah.
Where turns out Labyrinth, based on the movie for the Commodore 64, the American version, the first version to come out, I don't think they made too many of those. And so I have the only one that I've seen on eBay in the last 3 years at all.
$350.
Oh, that's too many.
Yeah, I'm betting on Frank on
$350.
This because,
that's too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I were to have $350 to spend on a video game, I would spend it on Psychic Killer Taromaru for the Saturn, which is a really cool action game made that is directed by the the guy who was in charge of boss fights for Treasure until he moved over and made that game. And then he brought some other Treasure people with him. I think he went back to Treasure after that. And I think he's the same guy who
was
leading up Ikaruga, I think. Maybe, I could be wrong about that.
Oh, Medium.com just tweeted a link to an essay I wrote.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, no. Last time that happened, I started getting emails from people. You know, again, you know, it's like suddenly people know I'm around.
Oh, no. And I do want to add my copy of Labyrinth. It was opened by some freak in 1986 or whatever it was.
Oh.
Who kept the shrink wrap on and just slit the top of it.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's amazing. Like, that's, who did that for a Commodore 64 game?
Maybe he had grown to fetishize the whole way a plastic-wrapped package feels. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Anybody who, back when we were calling it a podcast, I remember getting Final Fantasy on the NES from my brother's friend, Brandon. My brother's friend, Brandon, sold us the original Final Fantasy. He traded us a couple of piece of trash games, like, because he just didn't want it, because it was, I have to use his word. The word he used to describe Final Fantasy was, it was gay. So he didn't want a gay game. He wanted a dude game. He wanted some guns in it. And I loved the heck out of the gay games, so I bought it from him. And we ended up paying him like $8 in trash games for Final Fantasy, which ended up being a beautiful experience. And this kid had done that very thing, used a credit card or probably a Swiss Army knife or maybe his dad's Bowie knife, because everybody's dad on the Army base had one of those, to just cut a slit and open it up. And
I could see children of military parents doing that.
Well, I only started doing it because of that, okay? I've got Shin Megami Tensei 4 on my shelf over here, and it is opened that way. Because when I picked it up at GameStop, I picked it up, and it felt just like Final Fantasy for the NES. It was like, it's in a Super Nintendo box sized box, and it has a heavy manual, and it just feels heavy. So I remember squeezing the box of Final Fantasy, which had the manual was perfectly crisp. The map had never been unfolded. There was one quest on the cartridge with, this may interest you, two fighters, a red mage and a black mage. None of those white mages, those healers, none of the monks. Why would I want those? I want dudes with swords, and this guy's got a hat, and this guy has kill magic. And they were all on level 4, and he'd barely played the game. He had beaten no bosses. He hadn't even beaten the first boss, Garland. The game had baffled him. It would not read the manual. So, yeah, that's when I started opening my games that way. But I remember squeezing that package, the box, and I'm like, this is the heaviest video game box I've ever held in my life. And it had that big, chubby manual in it, and I had a good, crazy good time reading that. We talked about manuals recently on here.
Man, I don't know if you know this or not, but the English version of Mother 1 for the NES, it was done to the point where they had the packaging and the manual and everything done. It was just ready to manufacture. And Phil Sandhop, who did the localization, told us when we interviewed him that they did just a huge Final Fantasy style heavy book that would have been in the box with that. And that's a fun thing to fantasize about.
Yeah, I would have bought that. I mean, I literally would have bought that because I saw it in Nintendo Power and was ready to buy it. Like, so that was like a literally, I had money ready to set aside. I was like, I knew when my Christmas money was coming. I'm like, all right, I'm getting it. But no, unfortunately that never happened and it made me sad.
Sorry.
But, yep. That was a fun thing. So why was I talking about that? Who the heck knows?
I paid the most money.
Yeah, you paid the most money, and he had done the weird thing with the shrink wrap. So
yeah.
I did the weird thing with the shrink wrap for any game with a heavy box from then on. So this is getting into some uncomfortable psychology now. But if a game has had a heavy box, I would cut the slit like that and open the cardboard flap. You could not do this on Genesis games because they were their own precious. They had their own precious chest of secrets. Weirded me out that every Genesis game land was just a raw cartridge. That just blew my mind. They have these beautiful cases. Yeah, so sad. So sad. But
that was a little upsetting.
Yeah. So I guess I bought Chrono Trigger for $79.99 when it was new. And that felt like kind of just a mind expansion to spend that much on a game as a 16-year-old. And I mean, that was, you know, plus Indiana State 5% sales tax. I just bought the heck out of that game. You know, that's a lot of sales tax on that game, I gotta say. It's not really. But man, have I spent more than that on a game? I mean, I guess there was... yeah, I bought Dragon Quest 8.
You said you bought
but
some
I bought
Dragon
it
Quest.
Used, and it was around 7,000 used, which is insane, 7,000 yen. And I bought Final Fantasy 12 because I played most of Final Fantasy 12. I'm just going to go ahead and admit this. Most of Final Fantasy 12 I played on a beta disc at my desk at Sony Computer Entertainment because that's what I did. I was an idiot who just sat there and played video games all day. And I hate to perpetuate that stereotype of video game industry employment, but there it is. I did play that particular game all day for a couple of days. And then I bought it when it came out. And I didn't just buy it. I bought it in the special edition PS2. It came with a slim PS2 with a Judge logo laser etched on the front of it. So I took my memory card save and continued the game at home. So I bought a game that I could have just played at my office for free. And I already had a PS2, but god darn it, I bought another PS2. And the funny thing is, there's no value when it comes to a special edition PS2 in Japan in the mid-2000s. They do not shave a cent off of the price. You want to get the Gundam PS2? With the Gundam in it and the PS2's pink, it's going to cost the price of a PS2 plus the price of the game plus the price of the extra packaging and a convenience fee for packaging them together and then the we painted your console for you fee. So the Final Fantasy 12 PS2 plus Final Fantasy 12 was... So the game was 9,900 yen by itself. The PS2 was the price of a PS2 plus 13,000 yen. So I had to pay $30 to have some etching on my PS2. And
you did not need a PS2 for any reason.
I did not, no.
Okay, so that's pretty close to mine then.
So it was around $300.
Yeah.
So,
but I would say that in spite of the fact you guys have definitely spent more in one sitting, I think that it is likely that I have purchased more high-value games across a longer period of time.
No doubt.
Yeah, so that's I guess, the sub-question.
Which is a different pathology.
It's a different one. Yeah, so I guess in my life, my video game collections have been, I guess, somewhat peculiar. I've had a lot of games in the past that I sold, but... what is the adjusted for inflation here? It's thinking about games I've had in the past that I sold. If I still had them now, how much would that all be worth?
Oh, I might win on this one, too.
Yeah, this is a tough question to ask. But
Say that again.
So of all the games you've ever owned, whether you still have them or not, if you were to sell them all right now. So, for example, I had 6 copies of Earthbound in the box because they were $5.99 each at Best Buy. I bought literally 6 of them. So if I were to sell those all today, I'd be swimming in hamburgers of money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no mistake about it. But I don't have them all today. I sold them for much cheaper than that. So let's hear. What do you think? What do you got?
I don't know what the total value is, but I'm going to tell you what the biggest chunk of it would be. In the very early 2000s, like 2001, I was wholesale importing games from a Taiwanese publisher called Sachin, their NES games, of which there were exactly 64. I was buying them for $5 each, I believe, was the wholesale price I was paying to the publisher, whom most collectors thought was long out of business. I was just the person who was smart enough to find them and ask and buy their stuff. So I had... I think I bought, and this is like a big investment for a very young person like I was, but it paid off. I think I bought 10 copies each of the 64 games.
Wow.
And sold them for about $50 each off of the $5, if I'm not mistaken. It was a pretty good little business for me. Those games are worth upwards of about $200 each now.
Shoot.
So based on that, I might win.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're dealing with a Frankenstein's monster of dollars is what you're dealing with there.
But if I were to flood the market with them right now, they would be worth significantly less than 200 each.
Yeah, you'd
but
have to dole them out like Beanie Babies.
Right, exactly.
I don't know what that, have no idea what that expression means. But you'd be doling them out like Beanie Babies. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
I guess it's I can't beat that, but I do have multiple $500+ games in my possession right now. And I guess I would say that probably if I sold all of it individually, I could get $15,000 or $20,000 if I sold each of these games by themselves. That's probably a low estimate, though.
That ain't bad.
Because we're talking about, you know, there are like 10 rare Saturn games that I don't have, and there are like 15 rare PC Engine games that I don't have. And so in terms of in that collection, it's quite high. And then, you know, most of my US Genesis games, like Gunstar and Castlevania Bloodlines and all those have the packages and are complete and whatnot. So it's a bunch, I would say. And also I've got six different types of TurboGrafx over here. I don't need all those, but I got them.
Six different types.
Yeah. Well, so, some of them are doubles, but you know.
I don't know. Should I count the prototype stuff on this?
If you count the prototype stuff, then you beat everybody.
Yeah, then everybody's dead if you count those.
So in around that same time, maybe like 2003. No, 2002, because it was before Lost Levels. From a guy in Spain, I bought five prototypes of NES games that didn't come out for $125 each. And the going rate on an unreleased NES game that you can't download is about $4,500 now. So that would contribute quite a bit also.
Yes.
That's just gross. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that NES market, I tell you.
I guess right here, I want to say right here at the end, here's my quick final question. Just in real American dollars, RAD, just give me an estimate. Give me a ballpark. How much money have you spent in your life on video games?
Oh God,
it's a hard one because it changes year to year. But I would say
just a ballpark.
Yep, I would say that I have spent over $1,000 a year since I started going to Japan, which is 2004, and a lot of that money is spent there. But some of it is spent here, of course. Before that, I didn't have a job. And so I was probably spending on the order of hundreds instead. Well, I mean, I did have a job. I didn't have a job that paid me money. So I guess I would have to estimate roughly 15 to 20,000. Which is pretty much what I just said my collection was worth. But so my collection must be worth more than that.
Maybe some stuff has appreciated in the same proportion that other things have depreciated.
Yeah, maybe.
True, yeah. So I'm guessing we're only counting, like, video games that you can play. We're not counting my magazines.
Yeah, right. Don't count those. Just games and do we want to say consoles? Say consoles as well. Yeah,
yeah. If you want to put your magazines as a side note, though, I'm interested.
Oh, and exclude any gifts. If your parents bought your Nintendo and Super Nintendo, just don't include them.
Yeah,
your money, real American dollars with God, that's really Brigadier hard to say, Lieutenant cause... Frank Cifaldi. Real American dollars.
Oh God. I'd say I'm probably hovering near that 20K mark myself, I would think, just based on, I mean, we're talking about things I like sold. We're talking about prototypes. We're talking, right.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at like my shelf right now and that LucasArts stuff. I mean, that's probably like over a grand right there. Right. So like, yeah. You know, like, did I do that 20 times? I don't know. Probably. but then again, I don't know what high impact. No, I don't think that could possibly be. I think if you're like 15 to 20, just with your quantity alone, yeah. You know, I couldn't possibly be matching that. So I'm going to guess like 10. And then I'm actually going to guess probably another like, I would not be surprised if I've spent about $4,000 on magazines over the last 15 years.
Crazy.
I mean, it takes that much. I mean, when these, you know, they go for a lot. But also, it's over 15 years, so it doesn't really feel that bad.
Yeah.
I should have done this first because I just spent the last 3 minutes using my only talent, and it's actually much lower than I thought. It's 8,600. That's not that bad.
Not that bad at all.
I don't feel obsessive at all. I've spent less than $10,000 on video games in my life.
That's weird.
That's super weird. Do I even deserve
it?
That's like including last year I bought Mario Maker and I bought a bunch of crap on Steam that ended up being like $400. I've been getting free games for so long is the thing. So the sheer volume of free games, and also Brandon is familiar with the beautiful, just the tear-jerkingly beautiful PS2 collection I had, if you remember.
Oh yeah.
Like in Japan, that was all crap that's at bookstores for a dollar, you know, the underappreciated, undervalued stuff. This year in Japan, Brandon was there. I bought two copies of Breath of Fire 5 Dragon Quarter for 300 yen, like $3 each. Like, yeah. So it's like, I like having stuff like that. I've got a shelf in my house that's games whose box art I love. So I guess that's, not necessarily expensive, but it should be. And The Witness is $40 and I'm going to get it. And that's the straight dope.
I will buy The Witness for $40 if I feel like playing a big, long video game when it comes out.
No, let's not call it a big, long video game. Let's call it a big, long, transformative experience.
Oh, my.
And it's out next
Tuesday.
I'm not going to call it that. No.
You don't want a video game. Transformative experience.
I might buy it if some people say that it's good and I have more money later. Right now, I'm not spending no $40 on no video game.
I'm gonna get.
You know what? I don't care what anyone says about that game.
Yeah, it's real hard to.
I can't imagine valuing anyone's opinion of that game except maybe like you guys. You know,
yeah,
like...
well, that's what I mean.
I'm right. I'm getting it next Tuesday, and I'm gonna play it on my PC, and I'm not gonna stream it because I guess I can't stream anything anymore. So. I'm going to be playing it full spec on PC, and we're going to see, hopefully something will click and I'll be able to tell you if it's fantastic or not. But that's all the straight right. dope. $40 for the dope. Boom.
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 And that's the end of the show. I'm Captain Tim Rogers. That's at 108 on Twitter. Brandon Sheffield. Corporal Brandon Sheffield. Corpse Corporal Brandon Sheffield.
Yeah.
At NecroSofty on Twitter. And Frank Cifaldi, Brigadier Lieutenant Frank Cifaldi, which is at Frank Cifaldi on Twitter. And you can follow us at Insert Credit on Twitter, even though that Twitter's not used. I really feel like that Twitter should get used.
Yeah, you know, we should get it in there. We should get it going.
One of those IFTTT things to post links when there's a new, you know, just a thought. Maybe we should all have the password to it, you know?
Yeah.
Password. Yeah, so
I just got to find it.
Share it with our audience. If anybody wants to know the password, it's pumpkinhonkers dot, and never mind.
Biz.
I don't remember the rest. Dot biz. I don't remember the rest. There's more to it. There's like five more words. And then there's also at IC Podcast on Facebook. Yeah.
Not really an ad.
It's not an ad.
It's the way you have an ad. I mean, I didn't mean to say it as though it were an ad. I meant to just say, we're at IC Podcast on, you can find it on there on the old Facebook. That's what it's called. On the new Facebook, I can't really help you. I don't know where we are on that.
Yeah.
And that's the straight dope. Thank you for enjoying your Turbo Hyper experience. Bye.
Bye.
Insert credit show.
Over, yeah!